Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. Of course, Ring Talk comes to you live Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live from the Sports Byline Studios on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 217, iHeartRadio, and like a thousand other internet platforms, including Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. That's right. We've got a live stream going right now from the Sports Byline Studios on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Open phone lines around the planet, and I dropped this at the top of the show because if you'd like to impart or, you know, have something to say, the boxing fan is usually much smarter than me. What am I? Just a talk show host. Straight up, here's the number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You know, no hassle. Don't have to come on the air. Some people get embarrassed coming on the air. Other people are, like, scared to come on the air. Bottom line is the text line allows you to have an opinion and not come on the air. The number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Our guest today will include the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. The godfather will be here in hour number two. Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council, will be here in a few minutes. And Eddie Croft, boxer extraordinaire, now a trainer, and he's somewhere else in the world, training fighters somewhere else in the world. Bottom line is, he must be pretty valuable if they're willing to fly him all the way to Kiev and keep him there. Bottom line is, we'll talk with boxing's MVP, Eddie Croft, a little bit later in the show as well, if the Skype works. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is WBC Boxing TV.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Quite a weekend of professional boxing, no doubt about that. The undefeated kid from Philly, I'm talking about Jaron Bootsen, this kid with an attitude. Somebody with an attitude from Philadelphia, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, he's now 27-0, 25 whacks. A knockout winner over former world champion, of course, IBF number three ranked Sergio Lipitz. I think he's from Russia in that area of the world. 16-2 now with one draw and 12 knockouts. It was this dominant performance for the young man from Philadelphia. No doubt about that. He's cocky. He talks smack, but guess what? He delivers. And when you can deliver, no doubt about that. Now, the main event last night on DAZN. Controversial decision, but the common man, or Joe Smith, they call him the guy with the, you know, nondescript name. Well, really, he's a bit of a nondescript fighter to an extent. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Joe DiGuardia and those guys built him up real well, and, of course, they put him in this position to fight for the WBO title. He deserved it, no doubt about that, but he went into last night's fight a prohibitive favorite, 4-1 favorite over Maxim Vlasov. Maxim Vlasov came in at 45-3, 26 KOs. He's from Russia in that area of the world. Anyway, they hooked us up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was on DAZN, rock and roll, or ESPN, rock and roll on ESPN. And then it went down to the scorecards. And I thought, personally, I thought that the Russian did enough to win. I mean, I thought he did enough to win and, like, almost decisively did enough to win. Not by a lot of rounds. I mean, it was close, but I thought he did enough to win. Anyway, the score is 114-114, a draw. Pat Russell had it 115-113. I respect Pat Russell's scoring. And 115-112 was for Gerald Ritter. That's the hometown guy there from Oklahoma. Of course, his brother, Gary Ritter, was the referee, so they sort of got boxing tied up there in Oklahoma. Good guys, no doubt about that. But 115-112, I thought that was a bit of a stretch because I didn't think that guy won. Anyway, Smith celebrated afterwards. The Russian, of course, has been a pro for like 18 years or something like that. He's fought hard. It was a tough decision to take last night, but hopefully, you know, they'll get a rematch. Right. But, you know, sometimes when you get rematches, how can I put this? You get screwed the first time. You're playing blackjack. Get this. You're playing blackjack in Las Vegas, right? You're playing, you know, 21, right? So you get a king and an ace. You say, whoa, I won. All right? And then some guy with a 17 beats you. And you say to yourself, how the hell did that guy with a 17 beat me? Well, that's how it is when you get a bad decision in boxing. You can't figure it out. It's mind-boggling. I mean, Jeff Fennec sent him into a mental tailspin when he lost that, when he had that controversial draw, I believe, in 1989 with Azuma Nelson. Of course, that was on the, I think the Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns 2 undercard there in Las Vegas. But he never recovered from that. Some guys just don't recover. In other words, you get to a mental level and you accomplish this physical feat and then you get screwed by the judges. So it just ain't a good thing. Anyway, I'm not trying to say this was a bad decision last night. I'm trying to say that it was close, and I thought it could have went the other way. Anyway, Joe Smith, the new WBO light heavyweight title holder, more power to him on that one. As far as the rest of the week is concerned, as I said, Mr. Anderson was looking good. And Conor Benn, what can I say about Conor Benn except that he's still undefeated. Of course, the son of Nigel Benn, the Dark Destroyer, the WBC super middleweight champion at one point in time. Of course, he's the guy that ended Gerald McCullum's life, boxing-wise. His boxing life and basically almost his regular life. Of course, that controversial fight they had in the UK when McClellan knocked Nigel Benn out of the ring in the first round, knocked him into the second row, and they gave him like a minute and a half to get back in the ring, and all like, his fight should have been stopped right then and there. The fight continued, and then, you know, Gerald ran out of gas, had those brain fluids low because of the fact he strained to make the weight. I mean, the weight that he made was 168 pounds. He was a guy that would come down from like 220 pounds. He would come down to 168 and he'd make it. And of course, he blew him back up to 180 in a fight. But the bottom line is, bad night. No bad night for boxing. No doubt about that. But Conor Benn took just 90-something seconds to blitz out Samuel Vargas. And our boxing PhD, Samuel Vargas, of course, yesterday, I got to give him a bad time because he's always picking these upsets. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. But he picks these upsets and, you know, this wasn't an upset. He said Samuel Vargas was a tough guy. Yeah, well, he lasted like 93 seconds. Sort of reminds me of the time that I thought that Chiquita Gonzalez, Humberto Gonzalez, was the best fighter in the world. He was the WBC 108-pound champion. He had beaten everybody up. I mean, he was like 48-0 with like 38 and 40 knockouts. So I went down to see him at the LA Forum, and he was taking on a guy that was 100-1 underdog, and Rolando Pascual from the Philippines. And Pascual beat the brakes off him. I mean, holy cow, that's when I sort of figured out that anything can happen in boxing. That's just 101 favorite, 101 underdogs losing like he did, straight up. Next up, we will bring in the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. Why do I always say Jose Sulaiman? Because it's sort of indoctrinated. It's ingrained. You know, Jose Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council. Wow, what can I say? Anyway, Mauricio joins us after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. We come to you live, of course, on Sports Byline Radio, as well as Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. And Eddie Croft, can you please call my studio on Skype? You are tuned to Ring Talk, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Watching the man with the fast feet. Down to the nightclub, You can get what you want if you know how to slide to the nightclub. Ooh, we be slick, slick, slick. And all the people be bumping. If you got to go, the liquor will flow. Check it, 20 minutes past the hour. Let's take us south of the border in Mexico City and bring in the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. I got his name right. Mauricio, how are you this morning or this afternoon, sir?
Fine, Pedro, fine. Thank you very much. And once again, I love it when you say, whole Mauricio.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, Oscar Valdez tells me it's the same thing. We all have these problems. It's like it's indoctrinated into our heads. It's like, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
Yes. Valdez, such a nice kid. He sent me a glove. I asked him for an autograph, and he wrote Jose Sulaiman, so. That's a good way of always keeping my father's memory alive.
Okay, good enough. Any news on when Mr. Valdez is going to fight again?
Not yet. He has one full year to do any voluntary defenses, any unifications. He won the title as mandatory contender, so he has a whole full year to engage in any sort of fights. I don't have any news yet from his future.
Is he in the position to become, quote, a WBC franchise fighter at 130?
You know, the franchise designation we are trying to keep at a minimum.
Okay.
What we are trying to do is get as many unification bouts, get the best fights possible. The last franchise designation was done for our champion Estrada in order to facilitate a great tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Estrada is going to fight the rematch with Chocolatito, which was without a doubt maybe the fight of the year for 2021. At the same time, we order former champion Sol Rungvisai to fight former champion Cuadras, and then both winners will fight each other, and we will only have one champion in the division. So the franchise designation, we're keeping it very, very limited for very special circumstances.
Okay. Andy Ruiz looks like he's maybe found his way. He was a young man that I was extremely disappointed with as far as his physical conditioning is concerned, because, you know, I mean, you and I know that boxing requires discipline. He didn't have much discipline going into the Anthony Joshua fight. But it looks like the Eddie Reynoso and those crew have got he looks skinny.
Oh, he looks phenomenal. I am very happy for him. I'm proud of him. I completely understand what he went through is whatever any human being goes through, from being a nobody, from being always let down and put down by the whole world, conquering the heavyweight championship, knocking out Anthony Joshua, the Madison Square Garden, the millions of dollars, the fame and glory comes and the temptations come along. So he learned, hopefully he learned his bad, and he will have a second opportunity, and hopefully he can come back and be world champion again in the future.
33-2, 22 KOs, of course, an outstanding amateur, no doubt about that. Discipline was always a question with him. Now, he's going to battle it out. Is this the battle of the Mexican-Americans? Him and Chris Arreola going to hook it up? Chris Arreola now 38-6 with a draw. But is this going to go down? It looks like Carson, California on May the 1st. Is this the battle of the Mexican-Americans?
Well, yes. Arreola was always regarded as the possible first ever Mexican heavyweight champion. He fell short against Klitschko, against Stevern, and now he looked very good in the last fight before the pandemic. And of course, Arreola may be over the hill, but he's always a potential winner. He is always strong, and he has a big heart, and you never know what happens in boxing. So this is the ultimate Mexican heavyweight showdown.
You never know what happens in boxing. I went to the L.A. Forum. Jack Fisk and I went to the L.A. Forum to see Humberto Gonzalez take on Rolando Pascua for a WBC title fight. So we go down there. We fly to L.A. We spend all this money because we're going to go see Humberto. He's like 44-0. He's never been beaten. He's never even been touched. He's never been touched. And Pascua's 100-1 underdog. And Pascua beat him. I mean, fair and square, Pascua beat him that night. And I said to myself, this proves that anything can happen in boxing.
Well, he knocked him out. I mean,
yeah,
it was unbelievable. I remember I watched that fight and I could not believe what I was seeing. That's a beautiful sport.
In the Associated Press photograph, you can see me standing on the apron ringside, looking down at him like dismayed. I couldn't believe I was stunned, Mauricio. I couldn't believe it.
You know which other was sensational, also involving Chiquita Gonzalez, when he lost with Saman Sorhaturong from Thailand.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched that. He dropped him twice, and he was en route to a easy title defense of the title, and then he just got caught and got knocked down twice and KO'd. It was unbelievable.
And then there was a 1993 fight of the year with Michael Carbaugh at the LA Hilton, at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Yeah, put him down twice, and he was also going to win, and then he gets knocked out.
Oh.
One of the greatest fighters, Chiquita Gonzalez, without a doubt.
Humberto Gonzalez, may have no doubt about that. Now, 135 pounds, looks like Linares is going to meet Mr. Haney?
Yes, May 29, I believe, in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
This is, once again, another result of the franchise designation. We have a great tournament going in the lightweight division with Teofimo Lopez against Cambosos, then Haney fighting against Linares, and then Ryan Garcia fighting against Fortuna. So great activity in the lightweight division, all funneling down to a ultimate series of great fights between great fighters and entertainment for the sport of boxing.
Teofimo Lopez going to Australia for sure?
I don't know.
So they might. There's a chance they could do that fight here in the States or in.
I heard that fight was taking place in Miami, in June, but I don't have any specific details.
Okay. The bridge weight, the new division between cruiser and heavyweight. Explain the weight to me and why.
Yes, the WBC has been following this topic for 30 years. This is nothing that just came about. The reality is that in 1909, the heavyweight champion weighed 168 pounds. All the 19s, only two boxers weighed more than 224 pounds. Mm-hmm. And in this century, only Deontay Wilder is the only heavyweight champion who has weighed less than 224 pounds. So the reality is that human beings are bigger, stronger, taller, and heavier. This is a result of humanity. Mm-hmm. So the WBC first step was creating the cruiserweight division more than 30 years ago, recognizing that there was a big change in humanity in the growth.
Too much weight.
Yeah, too much weight. Then we had, about 12 years ago, we changed the cruiserweight limit from 190 pounds to 200 pounds, addressing this same situation. And after several years of studying and understanding how current heavyweights are mostly 240, 250, Tyson Fury's 270, so the WBC decided to create a new weight category from 200 pounds to 224 for that universe of fighters who are small heavyweights that give too much advantage fighting those big, big men. And we are very confident that this new weight category is going to create great activity. We already have championship fights scheduled, and the first world title fight will be June 18 in Montreal between Rivas and Jennings.
Isn't this a bit overdue? I mean, come on. I mean, there's always been this gap. If you weigh 202 pounds, you've got to fight a guy that's 270 pounds?
Yeah, that's a great concern that has been expressed by many entities, and we have looked into it several years in the WBC conventions. So we just decided to take the step and do it. Of course, any change creates uncertainty, and the people who are purists, they don't like any new developments, any new rules, any new things. And I took some heat, but I don't care. I'm happy. This is not a popularity contest. This is what we're doing for the safety and the health of the sport, and for the opportunity that these fighters under those circumstances deserve to have a fair opportunity to compete.
No doubt about that. You know, the women are starting to take over again, and I say take over again. At one point in time, Christy Martin was like making headlines. People were talking about women's boxing, her and Lucia Riker and things like that. And then it sort of went into a dull area when the tension sort of went away. Now it seems to be back. Of course, we had Amanda Serrano a couple of weeks ago. Last night we had this lady, her name is killing me right now, but where's it at? I'm missing. Anyway, why am I missing her name here? It's killing me. Good Lord. Anyway, she was a winner last night. I mean, we had women's boxing coming back, and it's coming back. I thought it would need smaller gloves to come back, but it's actually, last night they had a very entertaining fight on the zone from the UK.
Yes, women's boxing is very entertaining. We have supported women's boxing in a very strong way. We have had three world conventions exclusively for women's boxing. We have specific rules, and we are very proud of them, and we will continue to fight for them to get the proper opportunities, the proper payment, and just the development of their sport. They are doing great. Once that bell rings, they perform. They're always in weight. They sacrifice as much or more than men. They're always willing to fight anyone in any weight category. So you have to respect them and support them and just fight side by side with them, and I'm so happy to see what is happening. You know, McCaskill, Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor.
Yep.
In Mexico, you have at least once a month the main event on television is a woman's fight. So it is great what is happening, and I'm sure there's many great years coming for women.
And, you know, if women can get into it, women draw a lot of people in MMA. The women's Ronda Rousey was the central figure. Of course, it brought a lot of women to MMA. If we were to come up with a superstar in boxing, that would, like, put even more fans in the seats. You know what they say? Butts in the seats is what makes the sport go.
Well, what we need is promoters to give them and networks to give them the opportunity. Clarissa Shields, she's got great talent, 2 gold medals, and she's been champion in so many weight categories. She's just waiting to have opportunities to shine. So I see this year as a breaking through for women. It's just important that the fights need to be made. Amanda Serrano, if she fights Jelena Medrovic from Canada, that would be a great fight. McCaskill, she can be fighting any of the, you know, top girls. And I'm sure it's going to be shining for the future years.
Okay. When you look at the entire picture of the boxing world right now, we're coming back. We've got, 68,000 seats sold down there in Texas for the Canelo comeback?
Well, this is perhaps a great, glory time for the sport. Maybe we're not looking at it, but we are living it. So many great fights, great champions, the entertainment that is happening, so many platforms putting boxing. You have ESPN, you have Showtime, you have Fox, you have DAZN, you have in different countries, Sky and Televisa, Azteca, ESPN Knockout, and so many platforms and digital platforms. And, you know, without having small club shows because of the pandemic, because they cannot sell tickets, the sport keeps moving, and it's something that is very gratifying, and I can see a golden era of boxing happening right now.
Interesting. As far as Canelo is concerned, is he going to be Billy Joe Saunders, or is Billy Joe Saunders hurt, or is he on? Is there a plan to bring in David Benavidez if Billy Joe Saunders cannot perform? This is all the rumors you're seeing on the internet.
Well, Canelo is going through the best moment of his life. He's unbelievable. He's on the prime of his career, and I don't see anyone beating Canelo Alvarez in the short period of time. Billy Joe Saunders, he has been asking for this fight for years, and this is the time to show and go in the ring and show what he has been saying. So I don't see anything other than Canelo Saunders happening.
No doubt about that. You have a great week, Mauricio. Thank you for your time. Of course, we honor your time. No doubt about that. And, you know, what can I say? I'm not going to call you Jose. How's that?
Please call me Jose. That makes me feel great.
Hey, I was thinking the other day. I remember that time when I was sitting in coach, and like we were flying from like South Africa, and it was like a 17-hour flight or something like that. And he came and drug me out of coach and brought me in a bed. I had my own bed. He gave me a bed.
That's great. And whenever you have a chance, I would love to talk about transgender boxing.
Okay. How about next week or the week after?
Let's do it, because that's something we've been looking into, and it's something that we have to address as an industry.
WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman on WBC Boxing TV, and of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Time to take it real. This time it's real, not Tower of Power. Eddie Croft is in Ukraine, Kiev, Ukraine. Now, why is he in Ukraine? Of course, It's because he's so talented as a trainer that somebody thought enough to bring him over there to train a fighter. I kid you not. So the kid from the Peninsula, of course, a professional with a record of 23-7, 10 KOs, the WBC regional champion at one time of 122 pounds, comes to us live on Skype. Eddie, how's life treating you?
Actually, way better than it should.
Way better than it should. Okay, is a pandemic over there in Kiev? What are they doing?
Yeah, it's shut down right now. It's kind of slowly opening up here. But I'm heading to Germany tomorrow, and I heard that's pretty shut down right now.
Okay, so what brings all this world travel? I mean, I'm looking, we've got a graphic up on the screen right now. It says Eddie Cross, B Street Boxing, 223 South B Street, San Mateo, California, 94401. B Street Boxing, Europe is a long way, long ways from B Street. How'd you get there?
The fighter I train, who's, you know, become like my son, Evgeny Shevchenko.
Okay.
He was supposed to fight in an IBF title eliminator next Saturday, but we just found out that the other guy pulled out, and your boss Anuli is his name or his last name. He pulled out of the fight. They said he had COVID, it's difficult.
I guess it is difficult. But here's what's up, San Mateo, Europe. These people are paying you to train fighters over there. And somebody's told me that you were undefeated in Europe. Is that true? As a trainer, you're undefeated in Europe?
Yeah, in Germany in particular, I never lost there. So.
How do you go over there and win? Because anytime I've seen fighters go over there, they take out a gun and they put it to their head and they steal stuff. They steal it from them.
Well, you know, with the first time when Melissa McMorrow came here, beat an undefeated champion, Susan Kentikian, was a huge favorite, and unexpectedly, Melissa was able to, wrest that title from her, and she made a successful defense in Germany against another popular German girl, and, I guess that's how, people started recognizing me over there. But it's even a longer story with Evgeny and I. We, our connection didn't start from that earlier success, but that earlier success gave me confidence that I really knew what I was talking about when strategically, fighting over here. So, okay.
Well, obviously, if you're so undefeated, now that you've been over there a long time training this guy and the fight's falling out like a week before, what does that mean? You don't know?
Dude. Who knows, man? I don't know.
I mean, are they going to have another opponent step in as a fight off, as a payday?
The fight's off, man. The fight's off. That much I know. So the payday
this kid was going to get for training for 12 weeks or whatever is not going to happen?
Well, I'm going to have a discussion with the promoter and the manager in Germany on Saturday.
Okay.
So we'll figure it out.
Okay. Is it tough to negotiate with people in different countries? In other words, it's tough to negotiate and deal with people in the United States.
This is a unique situation. And especially with you're European fighters European fighters, promoters, managers, and how they pay their fighters, right? So it's a little bit different. So Evgeny pays me out of his own pocket. and, you know.
Anyway, yeah, let's not get into the basics.
It's just different. I don't want to, you know, get into it, like, okay. You know, but, like.
So talking about this guy that you're training, how good is he? What's his record? How good is he?
He's 15-0. He's really good.
Well, he's world class, but you know, I mean, you're his trainer. I mean, can you say a little bit more than he's really good? I mean, you're like Evander Holyfield. I asked him, what do you think of Mike Tyson? No, he's a tough guy.
Hold on. You didn't, and like, you asked me how good he is. You didn't ask me what can he do. You didn't ask me what his skill set was.
Okay,
I will gladly tell them to you, Pedro.
I failed miserably then. Please, please forgive me and tell me.
All
right. Time out. Folks, I've known this guy 30 years at least. So we go back 30 years. And bottom line is, that's why it's sort of like friend to friend here. Go back, Eddie. I'm sorry.
He's got decent speed. He's not, like blazing hand speed guy. He's super middleweight. He's strong, and solid fundamentals all the way.
Okay. I got a question for you. Russian fighters. This is the way I've always looked at Russian fighters. Mm-hmm. When you have to wipe your butt with a rock, and they tell you, guess what? If you box and you win, you can have toilet paper. That's a great incentive per se. I may be exaggerating to an extent, but the move from poverty to having something, it sometimes is only it's only attainable through boxing.
I don't think it's anyone. One culture, one country, one race.
But Eddie, the Russians prepare a little bit differently. I'm sorry.
No, hold on. No, really, I think a lot of it, yes, you're absolutely right. It comes from hunger and it comes from, desperation, right? a lot of times. And other times, it comes from anger from childhood trauma. So, it's all the cultures that we're talking about, right? But, I wouldn't attribute one more than the other. So, but Evgeny, he does have, like I did, when I was fighting. And like most fighters do, you have this caged animal feel, but at the same time, you're aware of it and you can speak intelligently and you're super smart. And that's why you're a good fighter.
You know, I got to watch a lot of great trainers or supposedly great trainers. I watched Ray Arcel a few times, got to watch Freddie Brown. Eddie Futch, without a doubt, and of course Angelo Dundee. Are there any great trainers that you look to, or you looked up to, or were there any trainers locally that you took anything away from?
Yeah, all of them.
name a couple.
What?
Name a couple.
Dude.
Did you learn anything from Don Stewart?
Wait. Yeah.
You
yeah.
did.
Yeah, what not to do. But, you learn something. I don't know, like Don might have, like, I remember he had some story of like some way they cheated. I can't remember. You know, he had like they were supposed to like spit out the mouthpiece or something and it fell in the spit bucket or some bullshit. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Or some stuff like that, right? And like I said, you might learn what not to do.
Okay, no
but
doubt.
You're learning something.
Okay, when you look at your career, I mean, you went all over the world. You fought Barrera, you fought Morales. And when you look back everybody has ups and downs in their careers. I think your career was basically, it sort of was limited because of injuries. Can you agree to that or what? No?
Hold on. Yes. I mean, yes. Yes, with, like, if I didn't get hurt my eye, if I didn't get hurt, you know, who knows what I would have been able to do. I definitely felt like I was coming into my physical prime and, you know, kind of getting a better understanding of the game, right? Because when it happened to me, I was almost 27.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I started boxing when I was 17. And you see it when, like, the kids are amateurs. Now that I've, you know, been doing this for a few years and I've been going to amateur tournaments and I see the kids that started off at 8 years old and then now they're 18, 19 years old, you know, fighting in the elite divisions. I see the progression, right? And I see what I didn't do. And so it, you know, it really takes, but, you know, I started martial arts at 5 years old. So okay. I don't like, let's not confuse the audience saying that I started boxing at 17 okay. and that was like the first time I ever fought. And
okay.
So, you know,
question for you.
What?
Question for you, Eddie. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Was fighting Tom Johnson in 126 when you could have been fighting in 122 a mistake?
No, not at all. I knew it. Like, I had no problem with Tom Johnson. It was, like, definitely – so, like, I'm basically fighting with one eye at that time, Pedro, okay. which, you know, affects your depth perception, which was my key asset. Right. So if I, you know, I lost that, I really had nothing. I felt like I would have dismantled him. You know, and look,
okay.
I'm sorry. And, you know, I know I sound very
laid back.
What?
You sound very laid back. So tell me, you got five kids. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. Yes.
Well, fantastic. Say hello to your lovely wife and all your kids, and I'll send them a copy of the show.
Yeah.
Eddie, we wish you the very best of luck there. Whatever happens in Germany, I hope it goes well for you, man. And we'd like to see you in California soil sometime soon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. All the best to you. Eddie Croft, of course, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Come to us from Ukraine. That's right, Kiev, Ukraine. Of course, Mexico City, Mauricio Suleiman earlier in the hour. Kiev, yes, this is Ring Talk. Worldwide, no doubt about that. AKA WBC Boxing TV. Back after the break. Check it. 56 minutes past the hour. Make it 57 minutes past the hour. This is hour number one of two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, AKA WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 217, and the Twitch.tv. Streaming video broadcast. Straight up, that's what we're trying to do. Of course, 21st century, we got it going on. We're coming to you live on the video stream on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Check us out. Log it in. Make it one of your favorites. The twitch.tv thing is free, and you get to watch what we're doing here in the studio. I tried to mix in some photographs. The computer froze in this hour. I tried to mix in some videos. The computer froze in this hour. So what can I say? This PC sucks. But outside of that, everything else is rocking and rolling for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you, of course, from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. The Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, will spend some time with us, and we'll also spend some time with that young lady. What was her name again, Cuddy? I keep blowing her name.
Shannon Courtenay.
I keep blowing this lady's name, and kick me in the teeth for blowing it, because I wrote it down three or four times, and I can't find out where I wrote it down. But the bottom line is, you will hear from her in hour number two as well. Of course, I'm talking about women's boxing. The fact that I think it's coming to life. And you guys know that I've been down on women's boxing for a long, long time because the talent's not there. I mean, you've got to have talent. You've got to entertain me. You just can't put two chicks out there with gloves on. I don't want to see that. Okay. I want to see entertainment with chicks that have skill and talent and ability and heart. And when you put it all together, you've got women's boxing right now. And I think they're rocking and rolling. That young lady last night, we'll hear from her in hour number two. She was fantastic. Of course, Superbad Estrada, Ciencia Estrada. Of course, Superbad Estrada, 20-0, which she got like 11 knockouts, 10 knockouts, captured the WBA 108-pound crown. I'm going to say she's like a phenomenal fighter. I think she's like the Hector Camacho of females. I kid you not. And we need people like the Harlem Hector, Hector Camacho. We need people like that in boxing. We need personalities. Why do we need personalities? If we didn't need personalities, why is Mike Tyson being such a hot commodity at the age of 54 years old? Come on. The guy's smoking weed 24-7, having a good time, and people want to see him fight. You know, that doesn't make any sense. He's an old man. Him and Evander are old, ancient. But if you want to go toe-to-toe, those two guys, let them go toe-to-toe for real. Don't let them go toe-to-toe in some type of pillow-laced exhibition. Let them go toe-to-toe with a set of Reyes gloves on to see who is man up at this point in time in their ages. Bottom line is they're both old men. That makes the fight equal. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you each and every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. This is only hour number one. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, forthcoming on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. And, of course, the live video stream is available at Sports Byline. Take the back. Is available at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Once again, our toll-free, you want to join us in hour number two? 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Stay tuned. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, forthcoming after the bunk news.